I can listen and eat at the same time. It's a beautiful thing. Dean Lester's the world's greatest form analyst. We are here to launch the Swan Hill Carnival in June. And Dino, my understanding is he got his first crack at the Swan Hill Carnival. And he joins us, the world's greatest form analyst. Good morning, Dino.
Good morning, Daniel. I'm very pleased that even under the regime, Whitey found Quo Vadis. I've had many a good night there.
Is that right? You've come across Johnny Quo Vadis.
Absolutely. It's an absolute institution there in Swan Hill, and you know, many post-race discussions have been eating a pizza at Quo Vadis.
I'm not surprised after our experience last night. I reckon the CEO of the Swan Hill Jockey Club would have been there as well. Aaron Garvey joins us live at the desk this morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, boys.
Great to have you with us. You're a Quo Vadis man, just by the way.
I have been there in the past, yes. I know John very well.
Right. Okay, you're a pizza lover.
Well, like, we had a bit of limoncello as well.
Did you get offered the bottle of wine?
Yeah, I did. They ended up paying for it as well.
It's that a good chestnut. System. It's a good system. Now, Dino, this carnival, my understanding is, it was your first real crack in racing, was it?
Pretty much, Daniel, on the radio, yeah. I had a couple of little gigs before that, but Jamie McGuinness, who was heavily involved, or heavily involved at RVL now, but was involved at the Swan Hill Jockey Club, invited me up there, and I did the mounting yard comments for the 3 days of the carnival back in 1998, and I haven't missed doing an online since, so it's my 22nd carnival in a row.
Magnificent. Well, we thank Jamie for getting you involved, because you've become the world's greatest form analyst on the back of it, and we're very happy about that. Aaron, this carnival, how big is it for the Jockey Club?
It's huge. It's our biggest event by a mile. Last year we had about 10,500 people that were attended over the 3 days.
Wow.
About 2,500 on each day of the Friday and the Saturday, and then about 5,500 on the Sunday. So, yeah, it's a massive event for the club.
And how long does it take to prepare for?
All year. Basically, we never stop. That goes right from the surrounds and making changes to the venue. So we just want to keep making changes so we can grow. We've grown by about 2-3% over the last 6-7 years. We're at the point now where we've just got to continue to make changes each year to accommodate the increases in crowds.
What are some of the changes that you're looking at?
On the track, we've made some changes around the home turn. We started in about mid-October, from the 800 metre mark around to the 350, 400 mark. We widened the track and we had a negative camber, and we've got rid of that. So by widening that section of the track and fixing up the camber, it'll enable us in the future to move the rail and not affect field sizes, which will be great. And around the venue, we just continually upgrade our facilities. You know, the club's been racing here for over 150 years. Some of the buildings probably about 150 years old, but we just continually try and upgrade the facilities that we've got so that the customers can have a better experience and we can also fit more people in.
One of the things we noticed just here up here last night was how close the track is to the city centre. How much of an advantage is that so it becomes a true sort of town experience? Because often the race courses are sort of, you know, 5-10 minutes out of town.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to be where we are in the centre of town, and we take advantage of that, and we get a lot of people that come down here on our non-event days, on racing days, just to go and have a look, but also on our big event days, with like our carnival. A lot of race clubs will have a race and, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock they'll take off, whereas Friday night of the carnival, where we're sitting right now, it'll be still going until midnight. And then on the Sunday, exactly the same thing. We're still there until midnight, and then they take off. So it's fantastic to be in the centre of town. We'll take it every day.
We often talk to the local trainers here on the Early Mail segment on our Brekkie show. And we were out here this morning, and there were horses going around doing their track work. How many do actually participate in track work? And is it absolutely every morning, or is something like today a bit special because of the sort of the launch of the carnival?
No, it's not special. We're a training centre, so we're anywhere between 30 to 50 horses a day.
Okay.
Six days a week, Monday to Saturday, we'll go around. So it's a very busy place every morning.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing, because what we got here just after 5 o'clock, and they were literally training under moonlight, and it was quite eerie. So you could just see the red lights on the top of the caps of the jockeys as they were going around for track work.
Yeah, we bit more than moonlight. We do have some lights.
No, well,
stop giving him a clip. facilities.
No, but it was quite eerie because you just hear the horse going around and the red light flashing on the cab.
Yeah, you can. And we talk about the facilities. We've upgraded the lighting that's here for pre-dawn training. We've implemented a new trackwork supervisor's hut, so it's down there, and that's where all our first aid gear and everything is. So we want to make sure that it's as safe as possible for the participants and the track riders that are out there, and give the trainers the best facilities that we can get.
So, you know, we've just come off the Warrnambool Carnival. We've got the Swan Hill Carnival, June 7 to June 9, to look forward to. Is it the sort of carnival that a trainer's a bit like Warrnambool, they target because there's so much on offer?
I don't think there's any doubt about that, Daniel. Certainly the feature races have been ramped up over the journey. I mean, when I first started going, the two-year-old race was a nondescript sort of two-year-old maiden. Now it's the Elvstrom Classic. It's worth great money, and it's one of the features of the first day. And, through to the Cup Day on the Sunday, it's what trainers really target these carnivals and take a big string up, and this year be no exception.
The Swan Hill Cup, which is on the Sunday, the Murray Downs Golf and Country Club Swan Hill Cup. Have you got any great winners from the past that you remember?
The first year I went up, Daniel, in 1998, I also took a horse up there called Go With The Flow, and he saluted for us. So it was we won the cup first year I went up. So it was a very fond memories of that day. But there's been many great cup days over the journey, and because it's the third day of the carnival, the memories are often a touch hazy by that stage, Daniel. But it's always a great weekend.
Are the locals happy that the city slickers come up and take their cash?
Probably not, but the local trainers the horses just love the track here, so they do very well on all our race meetings. So if I was going to give a tip to anyone, I'll be backing some of the local horses at their home track. They always do very well.
How many meetings do you have here a year?
10 a year, and we'd like to have some more. We have a transfer meeting. We've got a really good track that can withstand the wet weather, and it obviously doesn't get that wet up here. So we have 10 officially, but we'd like to have a few more as well.
Mm. Well, it's three in a row on the Friday. How does the track hold up throughout the carnival? Does it get chopped up a bit, or does it handle it pretty well?
It handles it well. There's no doubt it gets chopped up. But last year was a tougher year. We had a heavy 10 for all 3 days because we had a fair bit of rain leading up to it. But the track raced perfectly as a heavy 10. At the moment, it's perfect. You know, we couldn't get it any better. We've had the right amount of rain. We haven't put any irrigation on it for probably a month or more now. We've just had five to six mils at the right time, and we had another 5 or 6 mil on Sunday night, which is again perfect.
That's lucky, because on the way up I thought, geez, it's so dry up here. But as soon as I got to Swan Hill, I saw the track, and then I saw the golf course, and I thought, no, everything's all right.
Yeah, we have been lucky. We do put a lot of irrigation in it over the summer. It does get pretty hot up here, but 40-45 degrees. But we don't race in between November through to March. That's where our renovation period, where grass is going to grow, and we put a heavy renovation into it. So,
yep.
And that's when you're talking about before, about when you start, you know, planning for the cup. You just do it all year round, because what we're doing in November, December is getting ready for the carnival, for the track, to make sure that it gets through no matter what the weather is.
And do you get nervous of building into the carnival because it's peak season?
I get nervous.
You're on show?
You don't get nervous, you get busy, there's no doubt about that, but we're proud of our event. There's only 2 3-day carnivals in the state, Warrnambool being one. We're different to Warrnambool, we're not a jumps-focused event. We're proud that we've got 3 days, and definitely don't get nervous. We look forward to it every year, and the more people that come along, the better, and if you haven't been, by all means, come up.
Well, it'd be worth coming to. I must admit, it's my first trip to Swan Hill, so I'm looking forward to spending some time in the town and on the golf course today to learn about it. But the June Carnival sounds all right to me. Friday, June 7th, we've got the Golden Topaz, we've got the Competitor Cup on Family Day on the Saturday, and then the Swan Hill Cup on the Sunday. You can check out more on the Country Racing website. You got a Swan Hill Racing Club website?
We have, yeah. Just go to the Country Racing one and you'll find the links there. There's it's very easy to find. It's just go straight to the Country Racing one, and then you'll be able to just click on a map and see Swan Hill and click on that, and it'll go straight to Swan Hill's website.
Dino, are they talking about it down at the stable somewhere, about who they're going to send up to the Swan Hill Cup?
Oh, I'm sure their stables are pretty keen to get up there, Daniel, and try and get part of the money, because it's a tremendous carnival, and with 3 days of feature racing and often on a little bit better ground than we get at this time of year further south, it's a real bonus for trainers to have that variation in track conditions.
Actually, that's a good point. The track conditions are normally much more suitable for a lot of horses than the heavies that sometimes happens down in Melbourne at the time through the winter season. Is that part of the attraction for a lot of the trainers?
Oh, I would think so. I mean, as mentioned, last year was unusually wet season, but the track is often that little bit drier, and it provides a fantastic alternative, and with such great money on offer. And it's a fantastic track, Swan Hill. It's such a long run in, and the works that they've done with the camber on the home turn has been really evident at the few meetings back so far.
Rightio. You got some numbers there, Aaron?
Yeah, Dean was just mentioning about the money on offer. With the support of Racing Victoria and Country Racing Victoria, prize money's gone up around the state, and just on offer over our carnivals, $972,000.
Bloody hell.
On the Friday, there's $200,000 races, as Dean mentioned, one of them being the Alstom Classic and the other one the Topaz, and then the Cup on the Sunday's $125,000 Cup this year. So there's plenty of money on offer for the trainers and owners that want to target Swan Hill.
Magnificent. Well, it's been great to have... great to be a part of this, and thank you for hosting us this morning. We really appreciate that. Can't wait to see how the carnival goes for you. Good luck in the preparations, and go get them.
Thanks very much. It's good to have you here, and hopefully you can come up for the carnival.
That'd be great. Aaron Garvey, the CEO of the Swan Hill Jockey Club here today. Dino, it's probably hard to get a long range tip for us, but anything today maybe just before we let you go?
You'll be out on the golf course, Daniel, enjoying the magnificent fairways of Murray Downs, which I have enjoyed in the past, and I'm very envious. Oh, yeah, absolutely magnificent. I'm thinking a horse in the last race, Rue Bridges. When you're on your way home, maybe. Race 8, number 10, might be hard to beat there for the Galagotis boys, but that'll be me for the day. Race 8, number 10, and just a quick shout-out to everyone at the Think Big Club there at Swan Hill, which is I've been an honorary member of, and it's the place to be watching the horses in the mounting yard on race day.
Right. So
we might be at Bridgewater at the famous bakery, consuming a vanilla slice while we listen to that race.
See what I did there? Race 8, number 10. I got it out of you. If you don't ask, you don't get. Yeah. Good on you, Dino. Thanks, buddy. We'll chat soon.
Terrific. Thanks, guys.
Dean Lester, the world's greatest form analyst with us here at, well, he's online where we are at Swan Hill. For the launch of the Swan Hill Racing Carnival, June 7 to June 9, as you heard Aaron say, check out the Country Racing Victoria website for more details and track down some more info there. But race 8, number 10 today, which is an excellent start to the day.
And when Dino said fairways, he meant trees.
That's where I'll be.
And we're going to catch up with a few of the local trainers throughout the morning. Osty Coffee and also Nathan Hobson are going to join us through the morning.
Looking forward to that. We'll get to a break, though, because after the break, the early mail is going to be upon us on the Breakfast Club. We are racing at Moe today, and we've already got one from Dino in race 8. That's number 10. Early markets, just checking that for you. 270, take it and run, I say. We'll hopefully track down another winner after this on the Breakfast Club.